and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, you've traveled up to the west coast of Canada. You're in Vancouver for this edition of the program.
My home away from home, Rob.
Your home away from home, indeed. Well, we've decided that we should take a look at a chemical element that is absolutely critical in the high-tech electronics industry today, and that is silicon. Certainly not rare, Mickey, is it? I mean, it's all around us. In fact, the second most abundant element in the Earth's crust. Tell us about its characteristics and its history. When was it first discovered?
It's number 14 on the periodic table. It's right below carbon and right above germanium. So it's one of these metalloids, dark bluish grade, hard, lustrous, high melting point. It was first purified and discovered in the early 1800s, isolated in pure form in 1823. Mm-hmm. It's the eighth most abundant element in the universe, and as you mentioned, second in the crust after oxygen. Very important forms a rock forming. 28% of the crust occurs as complex minerals called silicates. Very rare as a free element. It is bioessential, mostly as a trace element, but also there are some primitive animals, sponges, diatoms, radiolaria, all primitive sea life that construct skeletal structures composed of silicon.
Okay, Mickey, this is the second most abundant element in the Earth's crust. Fill us in a little bit more on just on its characteristics, how it occurs. I mean, one of the pieces of information that I came across in my research is that silicon is the principal ingredient in beach sand.
Well, yes, it's quartz. Mm-hmm. Silicon dioxide, SiO2, is quartz, which is one of the most common minerals on the planet. But it also forms all these other rock-forming minerals. It is included in those feldspars, pyroxenes, amphiboles, micas. So essentially, the four inner planets to the sun, the so-called terrestrial planets, are rocky. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the big planets further out, which are mainly gaseous. But those planets are basically composed of silicate minerals. So it is a very important element for the Earth. Sand and gravel, mm-hmm. Dimension stone, crushed stone, silica sand for industrial uses. You add all those things up together. That in the United States, the silicate industry... the aforementioned uses totals something on the order of $12 billion a year. It would be probably the third most mined product on Earth after limestone, which we've always already talked about, calcium carbonate, mm-hmm. and iron ore. So the main uses worldwide have been and continue to be and will be for the future in the construction industrial industries.
Okay, so only really a small percentage of this is used in the high-tech industry today. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, the world demand for silicon metal as opposed to silicate minerals is well over, would be much less in order of magnitude compared to the demand for construction and industrial materials. That said, the silicon industry is growing and will continue to grow.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit further about the characteristics of silicon that allow it to play such an important role in technology. Can you expand a little bit further on that?
Well, as a metalloid, it's a natural semiconductor. So it's used in the electronics industry, high-tech industries, as substrates for integrated circuits, microchips, et cetera. And so, but all of that is produced artificially. So it does not occur. Silicon does not occur. It's very rare in its elemental form in the Earth's crust. So all the silicon metal that you use as opposed to silicate rock materials is a process called the Siemens process, a batch process where it is a sequential refining exercise. That said, most of the elemental silicon used in the world is used in ferrosilicon for making steel, about 80% of the world's free silicon use. Most of the rest of that is produced as metallurgical grade, which would be greater than 98% pure silicon, and that is mainly used in the cast aluminum industry. You make aluminum silicon alloys, especially auto industry now, because it's lightweight. Then you have other uses, fume silica, which is used in thickening and anti-caking, and those little desiccant packages that you get with certain products to absorb water, that's fume silica. And then at the bottom of all this, you have the electronic grade silicon, and that's greater than 99.9% pure. For semiconductor use, they've got to get that down to what they call 99s, essentially one part per billion. So that's where the ultra-high purity semiconductor use occurs.
And global production, I would imagine, only goes in one direction, does it? And that is up. Is that correct?
Well, it certainly is going up, but that said, it's still a very minor part of the total industry. It is not a particularly large industry either in the United States, which would be one of the main areas. In terms of tonnage, integrated circuits, crystalline silica is certainly less than 50,000 tons a year of that used, although it's very expensive. Other products, polycrystalline silicon used in the high-tech industry would be for LCDs and solar thin films, and that maybe approaches 200,000 tons a year. Certainly, both of these are growing, but in terms of total tonnage, total dollar amount, a very small part of the overall silicon industry.
Okay, and this is another story, isn't it, Mickey, of where China is the world leader in terms of overall production. A lot of other countries are also producing, including the United States, but China's right at the top of the heap, isn't it?
Are you talking about sand and gravel or elemental silicon?
I'm assuming sand and gravel. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So China is certainly industrializing, so and there's about five times as many people, four to five times as many people in China as there are in the United States. So yes, you certainly would think that China is the world's greatest producer of silicate mineral products, just as they are the world's major consumer, consuming over 50% of Portland cement, et cetera, and that's for infrastructure build-out.
Okay, Mickey, is there anything else you wanted to touch on this subject, or is that pretty much it?
Well, I think we've just emphasized that you have this big market, very low-cost bulk mining market, which is sand and gravel and various rock products, and then you within that you take silicate minerals or quartz sand, and you convert that to elemental silicon, most of which is dominated by the alloy and metallurgical industries. Mm-hmm. But a significant amount of that is for the semiconductor industry and with very high purity silicon, and that is, in terms of dollars, a significant market.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Next time out, Mickey, any ideas, or do you want to keep listeners on edge, and we'll perhaps surprise them in a couple of weeks?
Well, I think we'll probably surprise them. We've got three or four ways to go here, and we'll look at the periodic table and decide what we want to do. And at some point, we probably need to revisit some of the major metals that we go back to every once in a while to talk about the state of the market.
Okay, sounds good. Mickey, we'll wrap it up on that note. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.